Rain gear? Can't live without it. It keeps you dry, makes those soggy chores much more manageable. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered from head to toe, literally, with great prices on rain pants, jackets, boots, and more. Shop in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
It's the final week of August, the dog days of summer, and they are certainly living up to their name. When you look at those temperatures, it looks as though we're going to be in the 90s pretty much all week long. And that brings us to the topic of heat stress. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin. And remember, it's pretty simple. If you're hot, chances are your animals are hot. And heck, they might be feeling even worse than you. And even though heat stress isn't completely preventable in some cases, you can certainly limit the impact that heat is going to have on your dairy herd by taking the appropriate steps. Dr. Jennifer Van Oss is an assistant professor and extension specialist in animal welfare at UW-Madison. And Dr. Van Oss, just so we're all on the same page, how exactly would you define heat stress?
So keeping in mind that my title is that I'm an extension specialist in animal welfare, I do have to put the caveat out there that my interpretation of heat stress differs than what some other experts would use. And that's because I'm coming from this perspective of trying to make sure that the animals have the highest quality of life. So it's not only about production, and it's not only about heat exchange from an engineering type perspective. So for me, heat stress actually begins when the animal begins experiencing subjective discomfort and begins to show natural signs of attempting to cope with the heat, because cattle have evolved a number of physiological and behavioral strategies to try to reduce their heat stress. But when those are unsuccessful, it can then escalate into more severe heat stress that then impacts productivity and fertility.
When talking with some of the dairymen here around Wisconsin, what I have gathered is that one of the biggest mistakes producers make is that they don't really realize that heat stress is starting, and then it's too late by the time they can do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because a lot of times people use environmental indicators, and those can be a really handy rule of thumb. Like this week, we know the weather is going to be quite hot during the day, and that at night it won't cool down quite enough to allow cows to dissipate heat. But I'm glad you asked about the signs that cows show, because I think that's the most important thing to look out for, because different farms have different management, and even within the same farm, different cows can respond in different ways. So signs to look out for, some of the early signs would be actually sweating. So cows do sweat, not as efficiently as horses, but that is a way for them to try to evaporate heat. But one of the most conspicuous signs is panting. So this is actually a later sign of more severe heat stress, but once you see panting, you know it's really time to intervene. So when cows are panting, they'll be breathing heavily with perhaps their tongues out, their mouths open, or they'll be drooling, or some combination of those signs. So we want to look for earlier signs before you see panting, ideally. So what you'll see is cows showing elevated respiration rates. So as they're breathing and taking a breath in and out, that's one full breath. And once you have cows breathing at 60 breaths per minute or faster, that's a sign that heat stress is starting to occur. So I like 60 because, first of all, it's supported by the research. It's not a magic number, but it's also easy to count, because if you count one 1,000 and you have cows that are breathing faster than that, then you know that that's probably a good sign that you need to provide them some assistance. And cows show other behavioral responses. So you'll see them drinking more water, bunching around the water trough, bunching away from the side or the end walls of the barn, because this reflects their natural shade-seeking behavior. And you'll also see lower feed intake. So cows will eat less, and they'll shift some of their eating behavior towards the nighttime when it's cooler. And you'll also see increased standing and fewer cows lying down. And that's an important concern, because in addition to discomfort of heat stress, now they're experiencing discomfort because they're unable to express their natural resting behavior.
Yeah, we'll talk combating heat stress in a second, but I kind of want to dial it back and talk about the direct impact it has, not only on the animal itself, but then milk production, because heat stress, it drastically brings down a cow's milk production, does it not?
Yeah, so it's been very well documented that production losses are a natural consequence of heat stress, and this happens for a couple of reasons. So it's unfortunate for the dairy operation, but it's adaptive for the cow. So for the cow, she's constantly producing body heat, and ruminal fermentation as part of digestion produces a lot of heat. And then with lactation, that's also a very energy-intensive process. So when cows are lactating, they produce even more body heat. And so this drop in milk production occurs as part of this cascade of events, beginning with heat stress. So to try to regulate her internal body temperature, a cow will consume less feed so that she then produces less body heat. And that accounts for about half of the loss in milk production. But there are other physiological consequences that also cause milk production to drop. And so it's an unfortunate side effect of the cow trying to maintain a normal core body temperature.
I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer Van Oss. She is an assistant professor and extension specialist in animal welfare at UW-Madison. Dr. Van Oss, two-part question. First part, what is too hot for dairy cattle? And part two, what is the ideal temperature for dairy cattle?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is that it really depends because, as I alluded to earlier, the environmental conditions are a good proxy for anticipating heat stress. So looking at the temperatures that we're going to experience this week, we know that we're in this warning zone. And oftentimes we refer to what's called temperature humidity index, or THI, and that accounts for the fact that not only the air temperature, but also the relative humidity affects the cow's ability to cope with heat. And then if you're working in a system such as pasture or grazing environment where cows are exposed to the sun, then solar radiation also matters as well. And so commonly people have used a THI threshold of 72 to indicate heat stress, although that threshold has since been lowered to 68 based on newer research. But the caveat is that that's a break point where milk production losses have been seen on average. So that means sometimes they're seen sooner, sometimes they're seen later. But that doesn't mean that that's when cows experience heat stress. So they can experience the discomfort and animal welfare impacts of heat stress even at lower temperature humidity indexes. And so when we're talking about ambient temperature, that's one factor. But if it's going to be both hot and humid, that compounds the heat stress. And so going into this week, knowing it's going to be hot, it is a really good idea to make sure that your cooling systems are working, and then to also keep an eye on your cows, because it may be that your cooling system needs some adjustments to make sure it's really helping your cows cope sufficiently.
So what about calf care during this type of heat? Because I have to assume it's the same approach, but you're dealing with something very different.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked about calves. A lot of times people really focus on their lactating animals, which makes sense because they're the money makers at this time, whereas the calves are the future of your herd. And calves, just like adult cows, can experience negative animal welfare consequences with heat stress, but there's just been less research focused on them, but there's been more and more, including in my lab and elsewhere, such as the University of Florida. And what they found recently was that there is a THI breakpoint for calves at around 64 THI, where they show changes in their thermoregulatory responses, such as respiration rate or skin surface temperature. So yes, calves do show the same kinds of signs with heat stress, and it is something we need to be concerned about because the evidence is showing that there's these multi-generational effects where heat stress isn't just an immediate concern, but it can have this cascade affecting their later life productivity and even future generations. So with calves, one important consideration is shade. So if they're not housed in a calf barn and they're out in hutches, depending on the type of hutch you have, you could either be providing shade, so keeping calves from gaining heat from solar radiation, or you could inadvertently create a greenhouse effect, where even though the calf is under the shelter of the hutch, they're actually gaining even more heat under there. So it is advisable to provide additional shade over the hutch if you can, either in the form of trees or a shade cloth that blocks at least 80% of UV light. In addition to that, we found in a study last summer here in Wisconsin that you can retrofit your hutches using a ventilation kit, which provides additional airflow, and that makes a really big difference in the calves' respiration rate. So you're giving them a boost and helping them cope. And we also looked at the calves' behavior and found that they preferred to spend time in the hutches where there was that additional ventilation window. So we still need to do more research on calves, but there's more and more evidence that it's really beneficial to cool them as well.
All right, well, that's the perfect segue, because at this point, as the week continues to wind on, and it is hotter than sin out there right now, what are some of the easy tips that you guys at Extension have come up with for producers to keep their cattle cool?
Great question, and I'm glad you raised that, because right now at UW-Madison Extension, we are publishing a series of fact sheets on heat stress in both dairy cows and actually the humans who work with them, too. So we'll have some information about nutritional strategies, facilities, caveats for animal handling, et cetera, so keep your eye out for those. And in terms of cooling strategies, I would reiterate that the number one best defense is shade. So here in Wisconsin, most of the time, that's a given if you're housing your cows in a barn. If you are pasturing, it is, again, important to provide cows with some source of shade, whether that's when you bring them in for milking or if you can provide trees or some other shade structures, that's very, very valuable for the cows. Otherwise, you're combating constant heat gain from the sun. in terms of helping cows then lose additional body heat, what we found works really well in our region is making sure to have a good ventilation system. And that serves two functions. So the first is air exchange, meaning you're removing the stale, warm, humid air from inside of the barn and bringing in fresh air. So we want to make sure there's enough turnovers of air in the summer. So the target is between 40 and 60 air changes per hour. In addition to ventilation, your system also can force fast-moving air over the cows, which helps remove the hot air from their surroundings. And so what we're looking for is especially in the lying area or the stalls, we want to make sure that the air is actually reaching down to the levels where the cows are when they're lying down and not just passing over the top of them. And we're looking for a target of between about 2.5 and 4.5 miles per hour of fast-moving air, which you can provide supplemental fans over the stalls. So for a lot of farms here in Wisconsin, that is enough. And if you measure respiration rates and core body temperatures, that seems to keep the cows fairly cool. But during a week like this, when it is quite hot, you may also need to provide supplemental soaking, whether this is in the holding pen or over the feed line. Soaking has been shown to be extremely effective for lowering core body temperatures, restoring dry matter intake, and restoring milk production, especially when combined with this fast-moving air. Those two tools work together to enhance this cooling effect.
All right, Dr. Jennifer Van Oss of UW-Madison, thank you so much for joining the Midwest Farm Report. It is going to be incredibly hot here in the state of Wisconsin, and it's a very simple concept. If you're hot, chances are your animals are hot, and chances are even greater that they're probably even feeling worse than you. So do everything you can to keep your dairy cattle cool this week, as it can have a profound impact on milk production. And so many of the things that we talked about today are completely avoidable with things as simple as shade and water. Stay cool, and for the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin.